today, the Bear, Chris Felica, to give us his expertise opinion on the running of the ponies at Kentucky Derby. What's up, man?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great. I felt sorry for you today, man. There's few places that scare me more than having to go to the Apple store to get my phone worked on. That's just terrible.
Well, I will tell you this. It was probably the easiest, best experience I've ever had. I was in here last week and I had an issue with my phone. I tried one thing and it didn't work. So I literally came back today. Guy took one look at you, said, if I can take a couple of hours to fix, you know what, it's easier if we just swap this out and give you a new phone. So I was very happy with the way the situation was remedied.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be looking for lightning or something, imminent doom around the corner after that experience. Wow, that's awesome.
Exactly. I bet I'm going to make a step the remainder of the week because this is probably the best thing that's going to happen to me in the next couple of days, that's for sure.
Bear, when I was doing some due diligence on this race, man, this field is outstanding for the Kentucky Derby. I think there's a lot of quality horses in this in the race this year.
It is a very deep field. I mean, you have the two undefeated horses, or actually, you include Mendelsohn, this three-year-old as well. You've got Justify and Magnum Moon, both who have never lost. You have Mendelsohn, who's undefeated, who's a three-year-old as well. A lot of good magic, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Champions, a horse that ran great. In his last time out, Todd Fletcher has a couple of horses that are coming in off a good prep. So it is definitely a field where, while Justify is definitely the best horse on paper and looks to be the part, it wouldn't surprise anybody if there were, oh gosh, I think you can make a legitimate argument for 7-8 horses probably in the race.
What about, Bear, what about Mendelsohn? I'm just starting to try to get myself educated on the horses, but one thing that jumped off the page at me, this horse was bought for $3 million in September of 2016. So 5-1 odds, it sounds like a pretty good horse.
Yeah, he is the lightning rod horse in the race. Yeah, people's opinions on Mendelsohn are either going to be, I love him or I hate him. I love him on top. I'm going to stand against him on top. And I think the way things are going to go here with him is, for me, I'm going to stand against him. The UAE Derby, which is the last prep race that he ran in, the winners of that race from over in Dubai that have come over and run in the Kentucky Derby, none of them have finished better than sixth. The day he ran in that UAE Derby in Dubai, the track was playing lightning fast, and it catered to his running style. He had a very easy lead up front. It was a weakish type field, and ran against a couple of other fillies in the race, one of which will be running for Bob Baffert later today as well. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last year at Del Mar, got a great trip and won. But again, Mendelsohn is not happy. I think he can win, but in a big field like this with so many good, talented horses, you can't play them all, you can't use them all. You need to try and find a spot to stand against someone. And I think using the history of how poorly these UAE Derby runners have run in the past, the running style where Mendelsohn's probably going to be up on the lead, we're facing a lot of pressure, getting dirt kicked in his face for the first time. I think there are a lot of reasons why you could stand against him here.
You mentioned Justify is the favorite, and the speed figure that he had in the Santa Anita Derby is the best, I guess, in 6 years of Derby horses leading up to the Derby. There's a lot of speed in this race, Bear. I mean, can you try to find a mid-pack runner or a closer that makes sense?
Well, I think Justify actually might get more of a stalking-type trip in this race just because of where he drew. He drew a great post, I think, in post seven, while I think Bob Baffert would have preferred maybe a couple spots out a little bit more. But the three-horse promises fulfilled, the four-horse flame away. Those two horses are front-running type horses. They're going to be on the lead. They got nowhere else to go. So Justify is going to be able to settle in right behind them. And then to Justify's outside, he has three real stone-cold closers in My Boy Jack, Hoffberg, and Lone Sailor. I mean, those horses aren't going to be fighting to get early close-type positions. So I think Justify is going to fall into a trip where he's third or fourth around that first turn in a really, really good spot. And it's just a question of from there whether he's good enough to hold off the rest of the closers.
Talking with Chris Felica, the Bear from College Football Game Day, and also knows a thing or two about the pony. So we're discussing some Kentucky Derby. What about Magnum Moon? I've heard some good things about this horse as well.
Yeah, I'm a little higher on Magnum Moon than a lot of other people. He's the other undefeated colt that we've talked about. The Curse of Apollo, and no horse that has been unraised as a two-year-old has won the Kentucky Derby since Apollo in 1882. Both Justify and Magnum Moon did not run last year as a two-year-old. They developed a little bit later, so they don't have a lot of people like it, a foundation as a two-year-old as they move forward towards the Kentucky Derby. But I'm of the sense of that's a little bit of a a misnomer, a little bit of hogwash. Curlin was unraised as a two-year-old in 2007. He didn't win the Kentucky Derby because he drew poorly and Street Sense ran huge. In 2012, Bodie Meister didn't win the Kentucky Derby because he ran, because I'll Have Another just got up late and beat him after Bodie Meister set all of the fractions. If Magnum Moon or Justify lose, I think it's going to be more because they simply just got beat or had a bad trip. The one thing with Magnum Moon that a lot of people are pointing to, and I think there is some merit to it, is the fact he's had a tendency to lug out a little bit in the stretch. And that could be a sign that he's getting a little leg weary, a little tired later in races, and it might not cater to him being able to go from a mile and an eighth to a mile and a quarter. But I will say this, if you like Magnum Moon and you've been on Magnum Moon, the price you're going to get on him tomorrow is going to be a heck of a lot better than the 6-1 he is in the morning line.
I see myself going up there with like a 12-horse Exacta box. That's not the way to win. All right, Bear, I like the 18 Vino Rosso. I think he's definitely bred to go to the distance. He had a blazing work last week. Tell me why that's a good pick or not.
Vino Rosso is a horse that he can finish, and that's a good thing in this race. Whether he's fast enough early on to stay in contention is one thing. It's funny. I last year before the Kentucky Derby, I said if I could buy a future bet on the horse that's going to win the Belmont Stakes, it would be Taffret. And Taffret wound up winning the Belmont. Vino Rosso was that horse this year. If I could buy a futures bet on the horse to win the Belmont, I think Vino Rosso would be that horse. Again, he is a closer, so you know he's going to be finishing up strong. It's just going to be a question of whether or not he's going to be able to run down Justify or one of the other front runners in front of him. The interesting thing to get really hardcore horse racing on you here is he was the winner of the Wood Memorial, which is typically one of the biggest prep races there is. And the winner of the Wood Memorial has not won the Kentucky Derby since H.E. Pegasus in 2000. A lot of time they go into the race very highly regarded, take a lot of money. They're a top four betting choice, and they just don't run well for some reason. So it's a little bit of a quirk. I wouldn't hold it against him here. It's just funny how a lot of these highly regarded horses coming out of New York haven't necessarily come to Churchill Downs and run well, but Vino Rosso is definitely a horse I will use in my trifectas and my attackers.
Last horse I'm going to ask you about until I tell you exactly how I need to bet, because I am a horse novice. I don't know nothing. But my boy Jack, my partner Mark, his son's name's Jack. I mean, that's his boy Jack too. And then I believe what the stables, don't tell my wife stables. I mean, I think they bought the horse for $20,000. 30-1, I know it's a long shot, but is it worth putting a couple of nickels down?
They've run him like a rented mule. He's run him 10 times.
He is a horse that he is proof. If stakes placed on turf, he stakes placed on dirt. Kent DeSormo and the trainer is his brother, Keith DeSormo. He's a horse that got into the Derby a couple of weeks back by winning the Lexington. He is another horse that is a closer. I don't think he can win the race, but I think they're going to ride him to put him in the best position to hit the board. And if you want to bring this back to Mendelsohn, Mendelsohn and my boy Jack ran in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last year. Mendelsohn was 5-1 in that race. My boy Jack drew a terrible post all the way on the far outside and was 11-1 in the race and only got beat three lengths despite a terrible start and a terrible trip. I would much rather play my boy Jack at 20 or 30-1, whatever he's going to go off at, as opposed to Mendelsohn at 5-1, just because I think the flow of the race is going to favor my boy Jack in terms of finishing up a little bit better.
Okay, I assume that you're not going to condone my 12-horse Exacta box at the window, which probably wouldn't cash anyway. So who are you going to be playing tomorrow?
Those who listen and follow me during football season know I am not a favorite player. I'm a contrarian type, but in a race like this, I'm really having a hard time getting by Justify. I think if he gets the trip that I envision him getting, he's the he's going to get a clear run on the leaders, and I think he's going to click here in the stretch. And a couple of the long shots people will get it. Maybe Baldoro, the 11, can get up there in the try. We mentioned my boy Jack getting up there in the triple. Lone Sailor, the 8, is another horse I think can maybe get in the try. And the 20 combatant is a horse that reminds me a lot of looking at Lee last year, who ran second for Steve Asmussen at a big number. So I would put the 7 on top, and then maybe fool around with the with the 8, 10, 11, 20, in the 18 being also underneath for second and third. But if the race goes the way I think it's going to, I think we're going to get a 6th straight winning favorite in the Derby.
Beautiful. I'm going to be winning money, and it's all going to be because of you. Thank you, Bear. Now, real quickly, we'd have to ask you at least one question about college football. College football futures, are there any win totals and or future, whether it's a conference championship, get to a national championship? Are there any numbers you've seen early that have piqued your interest?
It's really hard at this point to not imagine either Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, one of those four teams not winning the national championship. I mean, I haven't seen any odds to get up there to make the playoff yet, because there's certainly teams that you could make a case to make the playoff. The one win total that I saw, which was kind of interesting, was LSU's at 7.5. And I would be an under on LSU this year. I think the quarterback problems that they have, losing a lot on that team, the schedule does them no favors this year. I think the things that have gone on with the coaching staff, what's going on there, who knows how that's going to pan out. But if you run down LSU's schedule, try and find me 8 definitive wins, and I can't see them. I think 7-5 is probably the best case for LSU this year.
Wow, that's great stuff. Hey, Bear, enjoy the Derby. And I was just with Herbie and some of the college football guys the last couple of days in Scottsdale. Can't get here soon enough, man.
Awesome, absolutely. Take care, guys.
All right, see you, Bear.
All right, there you go. Chris Felica, the Bear from College Game Day.
He
knows
over.
His ponies, Marcus. Holy
yeah,
cow.
Does.
I got the over on Ed Orgeron, energy drinks, and bench press. The under on his job.
I don't know. I was completely wrong on Ed Orgeron. You're right. You should bask in that glow. That was an easy layup for you, and I was.
You liked him because he was good.
I got mesmerized by the defensive line coach in him. It got me.
You're a sucker for the defensive line coach. I hear. I hear you. We'll try to keep on the straight and narrow.
It's not gonna in the way. Hey, you know what's going around college football and around all of football? I know everyone says it's dying, it's going away. Money, money, money. We'll discuss next.